still saved today. Thank the Lord. Encouraged to live for the Lord. I remember, and this is pertinent to the message that I have today. When I was 18 years old, I was required to go down to the post office in my town. I don't know where you would go now. And register for the armed forces. It wasn't so much that I had to register to be a part of the armed forces, but in case there was a draft, then they needed to know where all the young men were. And so, I don't know if they still do that now, but I had to do that when I was 18. I had to go down and tell them where my address and whatnot was, and in case they ever needed me. Now, in the same way, the Lord wants to know where we are, spiritually speaking, in case He needs us. Every one of us, the Lord has created us for His purpose and for His pleasure, the Scripture says. And we need to be available to the Lord to be able to do the things that the Lord would have us to do and be what the Lord would have us to be, because He created us for that purpose.
Amen.
I want to talk today about a good soldier and what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I believe that what the Lord would want each one of us to do is to, in essence, register. Lord, I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to just be a soldier. And I don't want to be a bad soldier. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take the text from 2 Timothy, the second chapter. We want to begin reading at the first verse. If you have it, you can start reading it for us. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 1. Read it, please.
Thou therefore, my son,
be strong in the grace
that is in Christ Jesus.
This is Paul giving Timothy, a younger man, that he has put his, the Lord has put his hand on, and Paul has put some effort into Timothy. And he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
And
the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." So what we find is that the Lord's army is a volunteer army. No, He doesn't force anybody. He doesn't draft anybody and force them into the armed forces and makes them do what they don't want to do. He doesn't do that. It is strictly by volunteer. If you want to be a part of God's army, then He has a place for you. He has somewhere that you can then you can fight. And we need to understand that this is a battleground, that we are fighting against the enemy of our soul, that we are in a place that we need the Lord as our captain, as our commander, as the leader of this army. And we need to be able to follow His instructions.
Yes.
So it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So first of all, in order to be a soldier of the Lord, He's going to give you grace to do it. You're not going to have to go through this, and He's not going to give you what it takes to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So He tells Timothy, "I want you to be strong in the grace of God." What is the grace of God? It enables us to be able to stand. It empowers us and enables us to be able to stand against the things that would come against us. So He says, "I want you to be strong in that, because there are going to be some things that are going to come your way that are going to be difficult, and you need to know that." I wish I could tell us today that it was easy living saved. It's not going to be an easy task. It is not an easy task. But what I've learned over the years that I've been saved is it's easier to be saved than not to be saved. It's easier to live for the Lord than not to live for the Lord. It's easier for me to go through whatever trials and tests that we have to go through on a day-to-day basis. It is much easier for me to do that than to spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell. I don't want to do that. You want difficulty. You want terror. You want something that's extremely hard to do, but you're going to be forced to do it anyway. You don't live for the Lord on this side of eternity. It is not to scare you. It is just to tell you the facts. These are the facts of the matter. You can live a life of salvation no matter how hard it is, no matter what you have to deal with, no matter what you have to put up with. You can live this life of salvation if you're strong in the grace of God. We need grace. We need His divine, unmerited favor in our lives. There are going to be some things that are going to be difficult, and we're going to say, Lord, why? How can I go through this? And sometimes it's going to seem like it's almost too much for us to be able to go through. But let me tell you, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. He's not going to allow a temptation to come that is so strong that the only option that you have is to backslide. That'll never happen. The options that we have is to go down and get a little bit more grace. Lord, I need more grace to go through this. This is one of those battles that seems like it's more than what I can handle. But if I find a quiet place, if I find a private place in the Lord, my little closet of prayer, I can get the grace to go through the trial that I'm facing right now, or the trial that I'm going to face. The only option that I have is to backslide. That'll never happen. He said that God is too good of a commander for that to happen. Let me tell you what may happen. It may be that the only way of escape is a very narrow passageway, and I have to strip down in order to go through it. That may be the situation. That may be my only way of escape. But it'll never be that I can't get, that it's, my head is too big, or something on me is too big to go through there. I may have to strip down for it, but I can go through it by God's grace. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, but there is a way. And what is that way? Jesus is the way. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're going to go through, Jesus is the way of escape. Thank the Lord for that. All right, so he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So there's a lot of grace. What he said, he gives more grace. If you need more grace, you got more grace. All you have to do is apply for it. All right, one of the responsibilities of a army or of commanders in the army is to make certain that the soldiers have everything that they need in order to fight the battle. All right? That is the responsibility of the commander. It is not the responsibility of the soldiers in our time to go and get his own gun, go to the pawn shop, or go and buy a gun, an AK-47 or whatever they are. It's not my job to go and buy that, is it? It is the job of the army, or the one that has employed me as a soldier, to make certain that I have the weaponry that I need to be able to fight the kind of battle that I'm going to be presented with. That's their job. Not only is it their job to do that, but it's their job to have whatever army things that I need to protect me, that they supply that. They supply the boots, they supply the armor, they supply everything that I need, the helmet, everything that I need is supplied by the commander in chief, right? All right, in the same way, it is that way in the spiritual warfare. He says, starting at that, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're coming back to this. I want to read a little bit, starting at about the 10th verse. Read that.
Finally, my brethren.
He's saying it again. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Paul says to Timothy, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's saying here, be strong in the Lord. All right? So we realize and we understand that as a soldier, we've got to be strong. Nobody wants a weak soldier. Nobody wants somebody that's not able to go through the battles of life and not able to fight on the battlefield. Nobody wants to be teamed up with a weak soldier, do we? You know why? Because that makes me vulnerable. If I am out on the battlefield with my fellow soldiers and all of them are scared stiff and all of the things that are going on around, they're not team players. They're going to make me vulnerable. So what we need is somebody that's strong enough in the face of difficulty, they can stand strong. They've got my back. I've got their back. And so we can go forward by the grace of God because we're covering each other. We're working as a team. All right? So he says, be strong in the Lord.
In the power of
my own might. No, in the power of God's might. Let me tell you something else that happens here. When we have a battle, there is a great might. We send all the forces in. And what happens is, with the force of the entire army, it's not just me with my individual gun that that is shooting, it is that we've got air cover, we've got ground cover, we got whatever we need, and what we're going forth is in the mind of the entire army. We need to know that. We need to understand. It's just not me fighting this battle. It's just not you going through the things that you're going through. There's a great big battle, and the might is be strong in God's might. It is a collective part. Saints, this is why you and I need to understand and know that the battles that you're facing today are not your battles. They're part of a larger whole. You may be fighting on this front. I may be fighting on that front. Somebody else may be fighting in another area. But it's all the same battle. So we've got to be strong in God's might. Alright? What does it say?
Put on the whole armor.
Put on not just a little bit of it. We can go out. I've got all my gear on, but I've got flip-flops on. That's not going to work, is it? I've got everything like it's supposed to be, but there is some vulnerable part of me. And let me tell you, they're not just going to have nice dress shoes to fight in a battle, are they? It's not going to be high heel shoes that we just kind of can daintily run through the rough. It's going to be something that can actually grip the ground, and it can actually do what we need it to do, and it can protect our feet as well. So it says, put on the whole armor, not just a little bit of it, not just the helmet or just the footwear, but put on the whole armor of God. He provides the armor. Saints, you can go through it. Whatever you're facing, you can go through it by the grace of God. Just stand firm. Just be what God would have you to be. Seek the Lord. Lord, you called me to this army. And you see what I'm facing. And I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're the one that's responsible for providing me with all of the things that I need to wear and all the weaponry. But you know what? It's my responsibility to pick it up and put it on.
Yes.
The commander doesn't put on the fatigues for me.
No.
He doesn't tie up my boots. He tells me how to do it. They show me how to do it, but it's my job to do it. And when they say at arms or whatever they say, my responsibility is to go and get the guns and go and get the weaponry and make certain I am in full gear, ready for battle. That's my job. It's his job to provide it for me. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yes.
All right, read.
That ye may be
able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me tell you, if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to stand against the devil. The devil is a cunning foe. He is one that you don't even know he's fighting you. He'll come right up. He'll camouflage himself just like we do. And he'll put on fatigues, if you will. He'll come very close to you. Whatever it takes for him to get you, he's going to do it. All right? That you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. All right?
Yes.
All right, read.
We're
not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against something that is far greater than what we can even imagine. Principalities.
Against powers.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's not just a battle that we can see the enemy at all times. You know, one of the worst things about the war on terror is that we don't know who our enemy is. It could be some man that has been a naturalized citizen or somebody that has been born in the United States, and he puts a car full of bombs and whatnot in Times Square, and he's grown up in America. And this is the war that we're fighting over in Afghanistan that they brought right here to New York or to Oregon or wherever there is, that there's a great group of people and somebody blows up our Twin Towers in New York City. It is the same war that is on the front in there in Afghanistan and Iraq and everywhere else. It's the same war that's going on right here, and it's the same war that we're having to deal with when we go into the people that put the bombs on the planes.
Right.
We don't know who our enemy is. The wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But there are political agendas. There are political powers that are against the United States. There are political powers. There are principalities. Rulers in the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Saints of God. We have to maintain our integrity with the Lord. We've got to make certain that we are doing what God would have us to do at all times. We must understand that we can make it by the grace of God if we'll just be faithful to the Lord. All right? Spiritual wickedness in high places. So this is what you're going to have to do in order to get through. In order to be a good soldier, this is what you're going to have to do. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're coming across some very evil times, and it's not. And let me tell you, there are going to be some places that it seems like the devil is going to become your friend. Don't let him be your friend. There are going to be some times that he's going to come and he's going to say, this is what's wrong with this and this is what's wrong with that. And there's an element of truth to that. And if you're not careful, you'll give heed to that and it'll seduce you right away from the things of God. Don't allow that to happen. I see it happening today. People are becoming disillusioned with the church. People are becoming disillusioned with the Word of God. And they're going out and they're finding them something that's a little bit better. I put that in quotation marks. In their minds, a little bit better and a little bit easier in their mind, and does something a little bit more for the flesh. Be careful about that. This is the wiles of the devil. When you know it works, stand by it. This works. Stand by it by the help and the grace of God. You can do it. You can make it by God's help. All right, read.
And having done all.
Having done all.
To stand.
You just stand there for.
Having your loins
girt about with truth.
Having on
the breastplate of righteousness. This is what the fatigue is. This is what our armor is. This is what I have to put on in order to keep from getting hit and keep from becoming a casualty. I have to do this. Let me tell you something else. When we are fighting in this army and we are faithful to put on all that God tells us to put on, if something hit us, it is not hitting us by mistake. Do you know it?
Amen.
We are not victims. We'll never be in a position. I don't believe a saint of God, a true saint of God, is ever a victim or ever feel like they're victimized. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. All right, read.
And your feet shod
with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Above all,
taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now I want to say something about the shield of faith. You have to have the shield of faith as a protection. You have to believe that God is able to do anything. And you have to allow your shield of faith to be tested, not before you even get into the great big battles. You've got to ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. And the Lord will allow things to happen to you on a day-to-day basis. Maybe you have not quite enough money to make ends meet and you pray and the Lord sends a check in the mail. Do you realize that that's an increase of faith? That the Lord gives you a little bit more hope that you can believe and you can trust in the Lord. Maybe you're sick and you were prayed for and you were healed and the Lord blessed you. Do you know that that is to be your Ebenezer stone that you can say, listen, the Lord has helped me in various situations. But you know what we do? We tend to forget what God has done in the past when I'm faced with something that is so, in my mind, catastrophic right now. Lord, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. The Lord is saying, without faith, it is impossible to please me. If you don't have this shield of faith, you cannot please me. If it's on the ground, if it's falling down, the devil is going to come in with doubt, with fears, with disillusionment, and all other kind of things to fight against you. Saints, we can't let that happen.
Amen.
We've got to understand it. We've got to realize that. All right? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
And for me?
All right, that's good enough. So here is what our responsibility is to do. It's your job to pick up the armor. It's your job to pick up the sword and make certain that you have it and make certain that you spend some time knowing how to wield the sword. All right? You spend some time there. I'm reminded of David and how he came against Goliath, and I think about that sling and whatnot, and how David, that wasn't the first time that David used a sling in his life. That wasn't the first time when he hit Goliath right where he hit. David had some practice on how to throw a rock. And in the same way, you and I need to have some practice in knowing how to throw a rock. knowing how to use the Word of God, knowing how to fight against the enemy of our soul with the Word of God and with the shield of faith. May the Lord help us to do that. Whose job is that? Yes, you go through basic training, but God is going to show you from time to time that it's your time to go out on the range, and it's your time to practice shooting. It's your time to be able to go and use learn how more effectively to use the sword. Lord, help us. All right. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. So it says here that I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All right? So what does that mean? What does it mean to endure hardness? Well, let's go to the second verse first. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You commit these things to faithful men who shall be all able. So what that tells me is that Paul took Timothy through some basic training. He said, those things that you've heard of me, those things that I've taught you, those things that you understand, now your job is to find somebody else and teach it to them. And you commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so this is how this volunteer army is spread. This is how it is enlarges. That I take it and I embrace it. And I embrace what the concept. And then I teach it to someone else. And that person embraces it. And they teach it to someone else. And we live the life, as we heard in our Sunday school lesson today, we live the life and other people are watching the life that we live. And it affects them in some way or another. And if we are living the life the way God wants us to live, it's going to be an attractive thing. I saw over at by Town East, by where Home Depot is, I went by there the other day, and there was the Marines and several people that are getting toys for tots. And I noticed some people that, you know, they stand on the intersections there. And the young men, I'd never seen this before, but the young men were in their dress attire. And they looked rather sharp to me. I thought, these young men, that would be something that is attractive. They had their little white hats on, their little suits on, white gloves, and various different, it was Marines one day, and then it was the Army the next day. And when you look at them, they look pretty sharp. And I would think that a young boy that's growing up, and he sees that, and he's looking up to these men, and he says, you know what? I want to wear one of those one day. But he didn't know exactly what it takes to wear one of those kinds of suits. But it's impressive to see that this young man has gone through it. And I saw not only that, but I wish I'd had a camera where I saw an old man, and he was a veteran, probably in World War II, and he was out there, and I saw him up against the young men, and I thought, you know what? This tells a story. That this old man has seen wars. These young boys, they look pretty spiffy and sharp. Their shoes all shine and whatnot. And it would be attractive for me, a young boy, to want to be like that because it looks good. But what does the Marines say? They say they're looking for a few good men. The Army, be all that you can be. Well, this is what God is looking for. God is looking for a few good men. It's not going to be a whole lot. He'll take every one of us. It will submit to the rigor. It will submit to what it takes to become a soldier in the army, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not everybody is a good soldier. There's one thing that I learned. There's a few phases to basic training. And I don't have these officially, but I did do a little bit of research on them. And part of the phases, one of the things in basic training that they'll take a physical. There's some physical things that a person has. The thing that we hear most of is that a person has to have the physical aptitude to be able to, or the physical ability to be able to soldierize. And what soldierize really is you can go through the process, but you have to go through the entire phases in order to be able to become a soldier.
And part of that phase is the physical phase, where they teach you how to run. They teach you, one of the things that they do in basic training is they force you to learn how to take instructions. And you're in a controlled environment. They take away your freedoms. They take away your liberties and whatnot. And you do exactly what they say because they teach you how to obey a command. Nobody says anything about that, but that's also something else that happens at that time. There are certain moral standards and moral values that they indoctrinate, you might say, into that individual. So there is a moral standard here. So we have to deal with the morals of becoming a moral code. Let's put it that way. A moral code in order to be a soldier. There are certain things that you can do and certain things that you cannot do in order to be a soldier. But you know, one of the things that I think is probably one of the most important things that we have to do in order to become a soldier is a mental fortitude. There has to be mental fortitude in order for you to be a good soldier. If you do not have the mental capacity to allow somebody to holler in your ear and you not break under the pressure or you not become disillusioned and say, you know what, this is not what I bargained for when I did. You knew when you were called and you wanted to wear that pretty suit, you knew that there were going to be some things that you were going to have to go through. You're going to have to run miles. You heard the stories. You've heard all the things, but you're going to have to go through these things in order to soldierize. Or you can go through basic training. I talked to a girl one time, and she was talking about she had been in the army. She went through the basic training, but she couldn't soldierize, is what she said. That's the first time I ever heard that word. That's where I got it from. Actually, a person that had been through the process. She said, I couldn't soldierize. She didn't go into detail as to what. I went through the whole basic training. I went through everything. But the majority of everything, is what she said. And she said, I couldn't soldierize. Therefore, I was discharged. So in other words, there had to be some phase. I think there are about five phases that they go through. And in each one of these phases, there's a physical, basically the moral codes and whatnot is a standard to which you have to come up to in order to become a soldier. Well, in the same way, what they do in basic training is they indoctrinate you. I want to use that word that's not necessarily a good word that people like to hear. But they basically bring you up to an understanding and they infuse in your mind what it means to be a good soldier. And a good soldier is when at the voice of their commander, they do exactly what their commander says when he says do it. Because if they don't do it, they lay in the bed a little longer, then it's going to affect the whole team, right? So everybody's got to do push-ups. Nobody gets breakfast. Everybody has to run 3 miles. Everybody has to do all of these things. Why? Because they're saying, listen, we need you to be able to understand that a command is a command. And when I give you a command, I intend for you to do it when I say it. What the job of the armed forces is to take a civilian and make a civilian a soldier. All right? A civilian and a soldier are two different things. They think differently. So they have to infuse in that soldier, that civilian's mind, you are no longer a civilian, you are now a soldier, and you've got to fight. And when you become a soldier, when I say get on the front line and give your life for this country, you have to give your life for this country. And when the Lord says, I want you on the front line and I want you to give your life for me, not for the church per se, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of us giving it to the Lord, we give it to the church. We become frontline soldiers, willing and ready to do what God tells us to do. Alright? We're not civilians anymore. You are not, when you get saved, the job of a pastor, the job of the Holy Ghost, really, is to make you now understand that you're no longer in the civilian part of it, you're now in the soldier part of it. This is why it says, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Alright? Now, what I'm learning, is that there are too many civilian Christians. It's one thing when you go out and one of the things that they do in the basic training, they have a 72-hour exercise. You go out, you live under the stars. You are deprived of all of the things that makes life comfortable. And you assimilate a battle environment. And so therefore, they see how you're able to go through, and you've got to pass in order to soldierize. In the same way, do you realize that God takes you through some difficult places? He puts you on the battlefield as part of your basic training. And let me tell you, basic training is not just for a space of time. It is the time that you go through the rest of your life. The Lord's going to be training you, putting you in a battlefield. Assimilation is not really assimilation, it's true.
All right? And you're going to have to pass. And you know what I see? I see people falling left and right because they still have the civilian mentality. I ain't got to put up with this. This ain't what I signed up for. Salvation is supposed to make you happy. Salvation is a good thing. It is. It does make you happy. And I see what happens to some people. Some people say all that they give up for the Lord. You know, I was looking at that and the Lord was meditating some this week. And do you know, I see some people that says, you know, they say, all this that I gave up for the Lord, all this I gave up to be saved, and this is what it got me. If something's not right about the mental fortitude there. You know what? There's a difference in giving up something and dying to something. And I think our responsibility is to die to things where it no longer has an effect on us. But as we give it up, we can always go back and get it if things don't work out the way that we want to. But when something is dead to us, it's dead. You can't bring it back to life. All right. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All right. So mental fortitude, they have to learn the core values, the traditions. This is part of what they go through, the teachings that they go through, the traditions and standards, the ethics of military service. There's a warrior phase. And in that warrior phase, one of the things that they do is they learn how the basic combating skills. And they learn how to use their weaponry. They learn what to do and what not to do. What I've seen happen too often among the people of God is that there are some good soldiers that everybody, all the civilian army, now I want to say it like that, the people that are civilian Christians, let the few good soldiers that are on the battlefront that have killed some enemy forces and have a lot of scars to prove it, and they know how to use their weaponry. They know how to pray. They're doing all the fighting. And the ones that are civilians are hiding behind them and saying, listen, here's my prayer request. And the reason that we get all these prayer requests is because you ain't praying yourself. You pray. You learn how praying always with all prayer and supplication. You learn how to do that. You learn how to wield the sword. You learn how to put up the shield of faith. But if you've got somebody else putting it up for you, now let me say, I am not against, I want to be balanced here, I'm not against you calling for prayer. Yes, you call for prayer. I do it myself. Yeah. But let me tell you, I should be praying as well. Amen. I should know how to wield the sword. It is not because I want you to do all the praying for me. It is because I need some reinforcement. We can call on the little walkie-talkie or whatever they got, the two-way, three-way radio. I can call and say, listen, we're under fire here in such a place. Can you send reinforcement? There's nothing wrong with that. But I better be found doing all of the maneuvers and all the tactics that I need, staying low to the ground, protecting myself, shooting back, using what I know, doing the things that I know to do to protect myself. I should be found doing that as the reinforcement is coming in until God comes and delivers us out of that situation. Sometimes we can be our worst, our greatest, our most formidable foe. You know, one of the things that is very necessary in combat or to become a good soldier is you have to have self-discipline, period. If you do not have self-discipline, you will not soldierize. You got a bad attitude, they will break you of that bad attitude. If you can't follow instruction, they will break you and make you follow instruction, or you will not be a good soldier. And in the same way, now, I don't believe the Lord just wants to break us down and all that kind of thing, but I believe that there needs to be some wheels broken. Our will. Not my will, Lord, your will be done. And as I submit my will, to God's will, I become self-disciplined. I know that I cannot have my way every time that I want it. A soldier knows that if he wants a chocolate bar and he's out in the middle of the battle, he's probably not going to get it. So he better put his mind on something else. If he knows that he wants a big Whataburger, he can't get it. A civilian feels like they should have it. Just get in the car and go get it. No, you're fighting a battle. You can't do that. And so I think that this is why some people become disillusioned. Because their mentality is still the civilian mentality, and it's not the mentality of a soldier. There are going to be some things that I'm not going to get. There are going to be some things that I'm deprived of. But I think that what we have is when the battle gets hot, they're not going to be able to stand. They're not going to be able to stand. Because they're civilians. I was listening to... I like listening to NPR. National Public Radio. I'm driving down the road and I couldn't finish listening to it because I had to go somewhere at a specific time. But it was talking about a man during World War II. And the book, I think the name of it is Unbroken. And it was talking about his... He had been an Olympian and he was... Had been drafted, and I think this was when, I guess, World War II, old man. But it was talking about how this man went down in a plane. So I got kind of in the middle of it. I don't have the whole story. I wish I did, but it's pertinent to what we're talking about here today. I want to read it. His plane crashed. He was shot down, and he was able to. They went into the sea. He was able to swim and get a raft and pull two of his buddies on. They were out in the middle of nowhere, could not see land anywhere. One man, from the very beginning, just lost it. There's three of them. He just lost it and said, you know, we're going to die, we're going to die. He said he went on so much that the man had to hit him to stop him from talking. Well, this man, he was just so distraught. And they had a few, the things that they went through, having to get fresh water, having to be able to get food to eat. And they were on the raft for 47 days. Terribly dehydrated. And when it rained, they were able to drink rainwater. And the way that they had to do it was really not very pleasant. And one man was, so the one man that had a weak mental fortitude that... went through all their rations on one night. So now they didn't have any food. And he was so mentally distraught and so mentally weak that he died within a couple of weeks. But the other ones were strong, had a strong mental fortitude. And they end up being rescued by floating into a island. I'm going somewhere with this. Floating into an island that ended up being a place for Japanese war camp. So they were there again. Had to deal with a whole lot of things. But the point of the story is this man was so strong mentally that he wouldn't let them break him. And all the things that he went through and the stories he was beaten and he was abused and he was afflicted and the different things that he went through, yet he held his mental faculties. And I believe in the same way, sometimes what we have to do, saints, sometimes we go through things that if the devil can get through your mind and he can wear your mind out, he has you. Have you noticed how many people are having mental problems today? More so than I have ever seen in my lifetime. There are people that are having severe mental issues because of the pressure that they are under. And what, there's a scripture that speaks about the devil's design is to wear out the saints of the Most High. And I'm not just talking about people out there. I'm talking about if we're not careful right here, I've seen it happen right here. This is why the scripture says very plainly, have on the helmet of salvation. Because the helmet protects your head. If the devil can get your mind, and he can wear your mind down, and he can make you where you just cannot, you're so depressed and so despondent, and all the things that are coming against you, and he can wear down your mental fortitude, he's got you. But if you can stand strong with the helmet of salvation and you realize, I am saved and the devil can't touch me there. And when the enemy comes in and he's bombarding your mind with what ifs and all these things, you stand firm on the grace of God. You, after you've done all to stand, you just stand there. Don't move.
Amen. Amen.
But don't let him have your mind. Don't let him have your mind. What I've seen happen is the devil has tricked a lot of people and he says, well, if you do this and if you do that and you go in this direction, it'll be a lot easier. Don't look for the easy way out. Lord, give me the grace to be strong. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to make it by the grace of God. And I know the only way for me to make it is for me to stand strong here. All of us this year, and probably in years to go, and maybe even next year, all of us have come against and will come against something that is strong enough to break us if we'll allow it to. There is something that all of us can be disillusioned about. All of us can say, you know what? When I signed up for this, I wasn't expecting all of this. And now I'm a little bit discouraged because of what the church is doing, or what the brother is doing, or what they're doing. Don't allow the enemy to present that to your mind.
Amen.
You be strong in the grace of God. You be a good soldier. Lord, I'm going to stand firm. I am not a civilian any longer. I expect this, so I've got to put on what does the scripture says. As much as Jesus Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. I've got to have the same mind that Jesus had, that I'm willing to go through the sufferings.
Amen.
It's not going to be easy. Saints, it ain't going to be easy. You're going to come across some things that you don't understand. Let's turn to 4th chapter, I believe, of 2 Corinthians. Let's just start reading at the first verse. Second Corinthians, the 4th chapter.
2 Corinthians 4:1.
Yes.
Therefore, seeing
we have a ministry. Yes.
As we have received
mercy, we faint not. That's a good soldier doesn't faint in the battle. A good soldier, just because maybe he got scraped, he got hit, maybe something hit me. Let me tell you something. I have been through things, and I know any person that has been through some hard times, those are the people that inspire you. Not folks that give up. Not folks that get offended by what somebody said. Not people that get disillusioned by all of the battles and all the trials and all the things, and they go with their head hung down. No, the people that are unbroken, the people that stand, the people that are good soldiers, the people that go through, they're the ones that inspire us. They're the ones that I'm saying, you know what? I want to be like that. They're the ones that I say, you know, when I get down on my sick bed, I want to be like that soldier. It's not the one that fail and falter, and the ones that when they're going through the battle and the trial, they look around and they see all that happened and what's happening. And look, everything is going down and everything is just happening like this. Let me tell you, the Lord does not allow you to see things go down unless you have some direct ability to do something about it. Period. If you can't do anything but pray, you can pray. And let me tell you, a good soldier is not going to become discouraged. A good soldier is going to find the little ray of hope, the spark that we're surrounded by the enemy, and there's nothing to do but surrender. But we've got to remember something. We're not just in an army on this earth. We're in a spiritual warfare. Jesus will make a way. And a good army, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will realize and understand that if there is no way, the only thing that I can do is pray to God and He'll make a way. He did it for the children of Israel. When they crossed the Red Sea and the army coming behind them, there was no way. They were surrounded. He made a way. Why do we always have a way? Because Jesus is the way.
Amen.
He's the truth. He's the life. So you'll never be, if you have Him, you'll never be without a way. Period.
So we don't have to give up and say, I just got to surrender to sin. I'm not going to give up to sin. I don't have to do it. Why? Because Jesus is my way out.
Praise God. Amen. That's right.
All right. All right. We have this ministry. We faint not, for we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the gods of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. If our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. The gods of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Let me tell you something. The devil wants to blind your mind. Don't allow him to do it. All right? Moving toward our conclusion. Drop down to the 7th verse. But we have this treasure in
earthen vessel.
Excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Here's our environment. Here's our environment. We have trouble on every side. You're not a civilian. You're troubled on every side. You're in the war, so you're supposed to have things shooting at you. You're supposed to stay out of the way of friendly fire even. Well, it would have been all right if it hadn't been the saints that did it. Well, I agree it would have been better if it hadn't been the saints that did it. But they did it. Now what you going to do? They were shooting too, and they were just trying to shoot the devil. And then you kind of was looking like him. You was kind of acting like him. We kind of got mixed up. Sorry. That happens. Yes, it does. Don't you suppose that some saints shot at me and hit me and I hurt? Yes, I did. But what did I do? I threw in the battle and said, because of the saints, I ain't staying around them folks no more. That's a shame.
Yeah,
I am. I'm going to come back and say, you know what? Watch where you shoot next time, and I'll try not to look like the enemy anymore. I got a job too. And you got a job. Be careful where you hit. Be careful what you say about folks, because it affects some people.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, anybody here ain't been hurt by people that they love. I want to see your hand. Have you not been hurt by the person closest to you? Have you ever not been your brother, your sister? Have you ever not wanted to speak to your brother or sister? Or your husband or wife? They made you so angry. Oh, let's just preach where we at, right? This is where we are. This is where we've been. Yes, you've been upset at those folks. You still love them? All right.
Amen.
Good. You didn't become disillusioned with it? You maybe had to adjust. I've had to tell this to some folks. You know what? You thought your husband was a stallion. He ain't nothing but a mule. Lower your expectations. It makes it easier. Let him be what he is. And well, we can say it the other way too. You thought she was a big, beautiful mare. She ain't nothing but a mule neither. Lower your expectations. She can't run like she can't run like she used to. All right. So sometimes we have to do that, don't we? But we don't become disillusioned. All right. Trouble on every side. Not distressed. This is our environment. We are perplexed. But we're not so perplexed. Now, you know, have you ever been this perplexed about something? But I'm not just so despondent and in despair about it. I don't know what to do. I've been in situations. All of us have. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted,
not
forsaken.
Cast down,
not destroyed.
Always
bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So this is what it is. We've got these problems. You're going to have problems. Let me tell you, if you don't expect not to have problems, you're in the wrong place.
Amen.
When you got saved, you didn't expect to have afflictions. And I, for the sake of time, I won't be able to go through all of them. If you weren't expecting to have afflictions, and they told you that somebody told you that it was going to be a bed of roses, then you weren't told right. Now what we should tell you, here's the balance is. Here's the truth of the matter is, salvation is wonderful.
It is.
It is the easiest life you can live.
Sure.
Because we've lived on both sides, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's the life that you can live when all else is going wrong. You've got some hope. When you lay down at night, you can be comforted that if you die, you can go to heaven. It's wonderful. It is a wonderful life. I wouldn't want it any other way. But it's not easy. It's easier than being unsaved. It's going to be some... Let's put it this way. Rather than saying it's not easy. There will be some difficulties. There will be some hard places. So this is why he says, endure hardness. Endure it. Put up with it. Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. Do not become disillusioned. Do not become offended because somebody said something that didn't make you feel good. A lot of folks have said a lot of things about me that weren't true. Some of them were. And that didn't make me feel good. But you know what? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's your job. The Lord will give you everything that you need in order to soldierize, to become the kind of soldier that He wants you to be. He'll give you everything is available to you. I'm going to read one other scripture. 1 Timothy 1 and 18. Read that in closing. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou mightest war
a good warfare.
Thou mightest war a good warfare.
Sorry, holding faith.
Holding faith.
And a good
this is what he's talking about, a good warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience,
which some
having put away concerning faith,
have made shipwreck.
Some people are going to be shipwrecked, and there's nothing we can do about it. But the thing that we can do about it is that we can make certain that we hold, that we war a good warfare, that we have the mental fortitude, we have the spiritual fortitude, that I realize, Lord, I'm not a civilian any longer. When I signed up for the army of the Lord, I signed up to become a self-disciplined warrior. And I signed up to fight some battles. And by the help and the grace of God, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it faithfully. And I'm going to war a good warfare. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Pray for me. You might stand if there's someone that has a number, if somebody has a desire to pray, it's a good opportunity.